This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters. We had not one, but two fantasy draft events at Hooters over the last few weeks. We had a lot of fun. Here's Hooters to tell you more.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans that live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day. And while you're there, enjoy Hooters' great game day eats. Join us for the Bucks Players Show every Monday night at 5 p.m. at Hooters on Hillsboro.
Again, my thanks to Hooters for their presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast all season long. Thank you for listening to this edition of the podcast. I waited until Tuesday morning after both Monday night games to get in this particular podcast. Normally, you'll have one on Monday, but that's just in advance of one Monday night game. But I figured I'd wait and recap the entire week one in one podcast. Rather than stretching it into the Bucks Bulletin on Wednesday, and then by Friday, we'll be looking ahead to week two. The first couple of things, I mean, we need to talk about people that one of the top running backs still holding out, and now the top quarterback in most people's minds, first rounder in two quarterback leagues, probably no worse than a third rounder in standard leagues that play one quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, and the status of the knee injury. You're not likely to get much clarity, I'd say, in the next day or so. It's just the world we're in now in professional sports, where there's almost no benefit at all for the Green Bay Packers to disclose any more than they have to according to the league rules. Again, the league rules were updated, a year or two ago, where all you have to do now on your injury report is basically say whether or not a player is, there's probable, there's questionable, and there's doubtful. And there's out. I think that's pretty much it. I might have even left one in that the NFL said now you don't even have to use anymore. So I think even probable is gone. Yeah, I think probable is gone. So now the only injury designations are questionable, which I think officially means he has a 50-50 shot of playing. Very vague, but a common term that we all use in our daily lives. Then there's doubtful, which basically means there's a less than 50% chance that he plays. And then there's out. If you own Aaron Rodgers, I think what you have to do is you just have to be prepared to play your backup quarterback. You got through the Monday night game, not only with a huge second half, but also at least able to sleep a bit that maybe you didn't waste an early draft pick on a quarterback, and now you have to replace that quarterback. Now, in most leagues, you're going to be able to go on waivers and pick up another quarterback. There's not another Aaron Rodgers to just go on waivers and pick up. I don't think we're in a Deshaun Watson situation yet this year as it relates to, say, a Sam Darnold, as an example, someone who probably went undrafted in most one-quarterback leagues. In my two-quarterback league, I have Sam Darnold. Didn't play him week one, but he is on my bench, and he may be playing week two because Mariota is one of my top two quarterbacks in my two quarterback league that I commissioned, the foundation. All right, that all said, your attitude if you own Aaron Rodgers going forward should be prepare for the worst. Prepare for him not to play this week, and prepare for him to potentially not play the entire season. you're going to need options at that position. You're going to need that. You're going to need a backup quarterback this week. You probably drafted one. Make sure you're comfortable with that one and follow the news as the week goes on or into the Sunday inactives, and be prepared to put that quarterback in your lineup if Rodgers is declared out. At this point, we can only guess. My guess is that Rodgers is playing with some sort of injury, or at least finish the Bear game with some sort of injury. And now it's a matter of Packer management, the coaching staff, and then even Aaron himself wondering if it's worth him playing now, just as it was on Monday night. Are we doing this? Now, there's a lot more that's going to go into this decision that went into the Monday night decision where the game's already underway. There's only so many people in the room, and you only have so much time to make a decision. So know your options on Rodgers. Be prepared. Also, this has an obvious ripple effect. If you own other Green Bay Packers, you know, this is one of those offenses, you want to have a piece of it. So if you own Jimmy Graham, be prepared. You may need another tight end for a while, or you may not be starting Jimmy Graham this weekend if Rodgers sits. Davante Adams might fall into the same category. I wouldn't want to. I'm thinking about it from a daily standpoint. You'd have to assign, which is not going to happen in DraftKings, an extremely low price on Davante Adams for me to play him in a daily game. So if you own him on your season-long team and Rodgers is out, I would consider sitting Devontae for a week, because you saw DeShone Kizer was putting the ball more in the Bears' hands than he was in Davante Adams' hands. Now, that said, I think Geronimo Allison is someone that might be worth claiming on waivers as a stash. I don't think you claim him and play him this week, but I think he might have some value going forward and down the road. It could be a case of where a decision is made this week on Rodgers. We're not going to play him, and we're not going to put him on IR. That's it. And their attitude might be that they're just going to take this week to week, or they may take a longer term approach and say he's going to sit for a month, and they'll take their chances. It's just there are so many different possibilities out there. You have to be ready for all of them. At this point, I would prepare for Rodgers to not play, and then have the pleasant surprise if he does, as it relates to if you own Rodgers or Adams. Now, I wouldn't necessarily sit if you plan on playing Jamal Williams. He might have to take on a bigger role going forward. It's going to be tough for him if Kizer does play and the Packers get behind for Williams to be effective, but he might have to take on a bigger role. So there are a lot of different layers to Aaron Rodgers' injury. You're not going to, in all likelihood, get a lot of clarity in the next couple of days. It might be one of these things you have to follow right up until game time. And just because he plays this week, if he does, doesn't necessarily mean anything for the following week or the rest of the year. If he doesn't play this week, it doesn't necessarily mean anything for the following week, unless the team decides to come out and announce something that covers a significant amount of time or an IR designation or surgery. You're going to have to be prepared for the worst as it relates to Rodgers or Packer fantasy players impacted by him. Now, as it also relates to the Le'Veon Bell situation, as far as I know, there's nothing new here. As far as Bell coming into play, I would imagine at this point, you have to assume he's not playing week two. He will forfeit another $850,000 game check. And James Conner is certainly worth picking up. Some may have drafted James Conner with their Powerball ticket pick late in their season-long drafts, and if you did, that was very smart. However, if you ignored my advice in last week's podcast previewing week one, where I said, don't get cute about your starting lineups. You drafted a starting lineup, play it, other than James Conner. If you have James Conner, you put him in your lineup. You find a spot. You put him in running back somewhere, or you put him at flex. Get him in there. And that was the one guy that you didn't draft to be a starter, that if you owned him, you played him last week. And I was even amazed in my foundation league, my opponent, whom I happened to beat by 55, had Connor sitting on the bench. There was no reason for that. Now, he still loses, but there was no reason for that. Not with the way the Steelers are built. And not with Connor's ability. We've been down this road before with D'Angelo Williams. I don't know if Connor's a better back than D'Angelo Williams. He's a younger back than D'Angelo Williams, but we've seen this before. So don't make the same mistake twice. Or if you're lucky enough, let's say you lost week one and you have a high enough waiver claim and you can get James Conner, you're going to play him in week two. Unless Le'Veon Bell happens to show up. As you saw, Le'Veon Bell's absence didn't necessarily impact Antonio Brown, didn't necessarily impact Juju Smith-Schuster. Big turnover game for Big Ben, but he's had those too. All right, so there's all the talk on Rodgers and on Bell. So in general, last week, other than James Conner, you were playing the lineup you started. Now, some of you, and I've already received some emails from podcast listeners freaking out about a particular player who was not utilized to the level that they expected in week one. Sure, I get it. You're like, what did I draft here? What am I getting? If you have a better option in week two to play someone else, then go ahead. If you feel that strongly that I don't want to make the same mistake twice, okay, fine. Don't trade the player. Don't cut the player. It's one game. I'll give you an example that was sent to me via email on Derrick Henry. And most of you know I'm a huge Derrick Henry fan and feel he's been one of the most underutilized players in the NFL for now 3 years running. And he was underutilized on Sunday. So let's look at that game on Sunday for the Titans. Okay. First of all, first year head coach. They all lost this week. By now, most of you know that. Every new head coach for a team this year lost. All seven of them. Gruden just lost by 20 on Monday night. Around the, wow, there's Chucky, look at all the faces, look at Marshawn Lynch's first run. They lost by 20, and the Rams didn't play well. The Rams were 30 to 40 points better than the Raiders last night. Yeah. But we had a first-year coach find a way to lose up 20 to nothing against a quarterback on one leg. So you have a first-year head coach in Tennessee. So he lost just like all the others. The Titans got behind early. Henry is more of a hand the ball to him when you're even in the game or in the lead, although they did come back against Kansas City in the playoff game, and they kept feeding Henry the ball. Deion Lewis does strike me as more of a back that they would use in a come-from-behind situation, in a hurry-up situation, and he had a strong debut. I own Henry in one of my leagues. I own Lewis in the other one. I expected more from Henry, didn't get it. I didn't expect as much from Lewis, and I got it. It was a seven-hour game in Miami. 7 hours. That can't happen again. You can't make fans and everyone involved hang around a sporting event for 7 hours. You think that would happen with a Super Bowl? There's no chance. You think that would happen with an NBC Sunday night game? No chance. Mm-mm. That was so poorly handled. And I think the NFL might need to reconsider some of their parameters on these weather delays. Because that was insane. So introduce that into the equation. And addition, Marcus Mariota was hurt twice in the game and did not finish the game. So there were a lot of factors that were odd about that first game. So if you want to bench Derrick Henry for week two, okay. If you have another option, like let's say you own Henry and Deion Lewis, okay. If you want to play Deion Lewis this week, I can understand that. If you own, I'm going to just throw out another random running back you might have drafted below Derrick Henry. I don't think many of you drafted Philip Lindsay. He might be worth a roster stash, by the way. Lindsay might be worth having because I know Devontae Booker isn't. Another running back below Henry you might have picked. Okay. Chris Carson. Do you want to let's see. Where's Seattle? They're at the Bears. Monday night. Always nice to have players Monday night. Sure, I can make the case you play Chris Carson instead of Derrick Henry this week. And I'm down on Seattle running backs. I don't own any of them. But I understand that. Don't trade Henry. Don't cut Henry. Not after one game, and not after one game with all of those things going wrong as it relates to their starting quarterback getting hurt, first-year head coach, and a seven-hour game with three weather delays. So don't. I could go through – I thought about going through all 32 teams for you today and doing one, for lack of a better word, takeaway from all 32, but then this podcast would be an hour long, and I know you got things to do. So we're not going to do that. Again, any individual questions? Let's say you have a player like a Derrick Henry, you're just like, what just happened? Should I be worried? Or you have a bench player, and the bench player did really well in week one, and you're thinking, okay, should I consider putting him in the starting lineup? Email me, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Remember, when you ask me questions, just don't ask me to pick A or B for a starting lineup. That's simple. I'll answer everything else. And all I'm going to do now is if you do ask me, well, who do I play this week, A or B? I'm just going to comment on the A player. In general, that's it. And then you'll figure it out on your own. I don't let you pick my starters. I'm not picking your starters. From the Buccaneer standpoint, we'll have more on this in the Buck Bulletin. Don't go thinking Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to be the quarterback all season. So if you want to claim him on waivers this week to play him for two, potentially three games, okay, if you have the roster spot. Okay. Now, granted, the Eagles defense has a lot more to offer than the Saints defense. But I said a while ago with Fitzpatrick, one of the things he would do was actually throw to DeSean Jackson. The numbers indicated that off last year. The little bit Fitzpatrick played and the targets that Jackson got. Now, Jackson may not be healthy enough to play for week two. Against the Philadelphia Eagles. But as far as playing Fitzpatrick in daily, now again, the Eagles and then the next three defenses, if Fitzpatrick gets, we know he's going to get two more starts. If he gets the third, remember, that would be a short week. So if you feel he's worth it for 3 weeks against some defenses with some personnel, Eagles, Steelers, Bears, go ahead, you know, maybe with that. Maybe your backup quarterback is, Who might you have drafted as your backup quarterback? Okay, let's say, I'm trying to think of one. A backup quarterback in a one quarterback league where you didn't get very much out of him. Eli. Okay. So let's say, well, I'm not going to play Eli this week. I might as well just pick up Fitzpatrick. And if Fitzpatrick has another great game against the Eagles, then I'm going to play him week three against the Steelers. Okay, fine. All right. But don't start thinking that Fitzpatrick is going to play 16 games. Just don't. It's the same as the Derrick Henry situation. Don't overreact to this first game from a negative standpoint. Don't overreact and change your whole team around the performance of one player who went off, who's sitting out there on the waiver wire, as is the case with Fitzpatrick. And there are other circumstances there as it relates to Fitzpatrick. I mean, he just doesn't have the arm to play 16 games anymore. That's not why he came to Tampa Bay a couple of years ago. He's actually very content to take the backup quarterback check, play a little bit, and knowing that they had somebody else. And that's still the way the Bucs are going to play this. Now, if he's 4-0 after the first month, he'll start week five. Sure he will. Unless his arm's about to fall off, which by then it might. But don't overreact to that either as it relates to moving mountains to get Fitzpatrick or DeSean Jackson. Chris Godwin, okay. If you want to stash Chris Godwin on your roster, especially with DeSean Jackson likely injured, that's understandable. Godwin seems to be very good at catching that back shoulder throw. That appears to be a real strength of his. One of the touchdowns was a classic back shoulder throw. Again, perfectly thrown by Fitzpatrick, but also executed very well by Godwin. We'll have more on that in the Bucs bulletin. Again, send me any individual questions about anything you saw in week one as it relates to you thinking to week two. I would say your week two lineup's going to look a lot like your week one lineup. With the exception of, let's see, I don't think there were a lot of, the Leonard Fournette situation is worth monitoring. It certainly looks and sounds like he's going to play. I think he wants to play against the New England Patriots. The Jaguars host the Patriots this week. But with Fournette, remember we had a game last year where Fournette was suddenly inactive at 11:30. Before 1 o'clock game, it was more disciplinary reasons than anything else. So Marone knows how to be as coy about this as the Packers are with Aaron Rodgers. But you're certainly keeping an eye on Fournette because most of you drafted him as an RB1. TJ Yeldon had a good game. I wouldn't say if Fournette doesn't play this week, I wouldn't say that Yeldon is someone you want to play. I'd say Yeldon is more of a DFS play. Then he's a plug-and-play waiver guy for week two, especially against the New England Patriots. All right, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Bucs Bulletin coming up later this week, and then we'll do another podcast with more information on more guys. Maybe we'll go around the league, one per team, with an impression off week one and what we're looking for in week two. In the podcast later in the week. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. I thank Hooters for their season-long presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I thank all of you for listening. Remember to subscribe to this podcast to know immediately when each podcast becomes available. Thank you very much. I look forward to your emails at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. If you won week one, congratulations. Doesn't win you the league. If you lost week one, sorry about that. Doesn't mean you won't win your league, all right? ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. We'll talk to you soon.